Aren't you glad that I stopped and got those?
I was thinking about that on the ride. I'm like, oh, dang, he's late. He didn't get the... that was like the first thing I thought of.
You don't have a problem at all. Not thinking about my safety or, you know, whether he's going to be on the meeting or the business. No, the only thing is, am I going to get those cookies? It's most likely not. Here comes the rain cloud. Hey, what's happening, you guys? Welcome back to the Proclivity Podcast. I'm your host, Joel Cochran. I'm here with Emily Rodella, and we got some mistakes for you. Not our mistakes. No, no, no. We're perfect, obviously. We own a business, so that just puts us in a higher level of just never making mistakes. I'm kidding. Of course, we make mistakes all the time, and we're vulnerable about it, and we share it with you guys here on the podcast. But the mistakes that we're talking about today is fueling mistakes when it comes to fitness. And that's what we're going to run through today. We're going to talk about the top three fueling mistakes that we see as coaches, and also what we're going to encourage you to do, the top three options when it comes to fueling, specifically around metabolic flexibility. Emily, for the listeners real quick, if you've listened to us, you know us, great, but let's cover metabolic flexibility. So that just gives them a little foundation before we get into this. What is metabolic flexibility? Why do we believe in it so much?
Yeah, the way we define metabolic flexibility is the ability for our body to switch fuel sources seamlessly, meaning you wake up, you could work out, you could not, you could eat or not, and still be fine for a few hours, right? Go between meals for at least 5 hours and be okay, not feel hangry. So essentially it's your body being able to go, hey, I can use glucose and carbs. I can also switch to using fat or stored fat for fuel.
Beautiful. And guys, we're going to talk about how to be able to fuel for your fitness, recognizing that metabolic flexibility. So hang on. But before we get started in that and getting you to where we want you to go, let's first talk about some of the mistakes that we see with fueling right before fitness or with fitness. And we're going to give you guys examples of what that looks like and also what it does to your body. So why is it a mistake? What are the drawbacks with it? So that's how we're going to structure this podcast. So let's buckle in and let's get into it. So Emily, let's start off with the first mistake that we see: skipping pre-workout fueling, meaning, man, I don't have time, or it hurts my stomach before I work out, or I'm getting up at, you know, 5 a.m. to be at the 5:30 class, and I don't fuel at all. What happens there when we don't fuel? And why is this a mistake?
So this is like the people coming to us not having worked with us. This is a mistake for people who are essentially metabolically inflexible or unflexible, however you want to put it. For people who are metabolically flexible, this is what we do. We actually skip a meal before eating before going into a workout. Yet we have to make sure our blood sugar is in check. And so for most people walking around who are metabolically inflexible, their blood sugar is going up and down and their body's actually relying on mostly glucose for fuel. You go into a workout and you're stressing your body out more and you're likely to feel like a bonk in energy at some point, whether it be in your workout or later, and you're just causing more stress and inflammation on your nervous system and your body. And then your body's, since it's not used to using other sources of fuel, it's going to run out. You're going to feel more lethargic, less output, less power, and less recovery, right? Yeah. You might feel more sore. You're not going to get the gains that you're looking for as much. You're way less efficient if your body is not used to pulling from different sources of fuel.
Mm-hmm. And so that would look like somebody who may have 4 or 5 meals a day that are more carbohydrate based. Maybe they're pushing 200 or even 300 grams of carbohydrates. If they're doing that type of diet or meals, this is going to be a big struggle for them if they go to the gym and they don't have something. Mm-hmm. Now, then this also leads to people getting really obsessive beforehand of making sure that they're super fueled and they got to have all the carbohydrates to be able to get a good workout. Mm-hmm. And so the mistake number two that we recognize is actually overloading on sugary, high carbohydrate foods, pre-workout. I need to get as much into me to be able to have as much energy. And this could be something such as doing an energy drink beforehand, pre-workout, those goos or those honey stingers, so on and so forth. What's the drawback there? There are some people, right? You're going to get, you were just talking right before we started. You had some, a sugary snack. We had some cookies from Truckee, Whole Bakery.
Whole Treats.
Whole Treats Bakery. Thank you. An incredible gluten-free bakery up in Truckee. They have literally, would you agree to this, Emily? The best cookies.
Yes. And not even separating categories from gluten-free or not. Yet they are gluten-free, but they're the best cookie I've ever had.
Correct.
That's saying something.
That is saying something. And so you had these sugary snacks, and right before you started, you were like, oh man, I can feel this energy rising in me. And so we can understand why people would be like, oh, cool, I want that, have that energy rise. But what's the drawbacks here? Why is this a mistake?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, two big drawbacks there. One, blood sugar, right? Your blood sugar is likely to spike when it's those simple carbs, right? So you're, whenever we have a big blood sugar spike, our body tries to find balance in that and releases more insulin, and it often does it, like overcorrects it, right? So then we get low blood sugar an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours later. And you will feel that in the sense of that like bonking feeling of like lethargy, tired, hangriness, any low blood sugar like symptom. Because remember, high blood sugar and low blood sugar equally as non-beneficial for your body, very harmful. And if we do that consistently over time, it's going to cause us to have those problems time and time again if we're not fueling every 2 or 3 hours. So mm-hmm. blood sugar roller coaster, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. Second part of that is the quality of the food, right? So if we're eating, I saw this a lot in the gym back in college, of people eating like Sour Patch Kids or a candy bar. Like, I just need something. And, you know, I hear the sugar, you need sugar to fuel your muscles and actually to get a good workout in. That the quality matters, right? Mm-hmm. Here and there, yes, treat yourself, no big deal. Yet over time, Sour Patch Kids has food dyes. It has probably corn syrup and canuba wax and all these weird ingredients that are going to clog your system up, stress your liver out, all these toxins that your body's not meant to have. And same with even the cookies, right? If I were to do that every time before, there's not a whole lot of nutrients in cookies, mm-hmm. right? Or the energy drinks. There's some better ones out there. But again, we're putting poor quality ingredients into our body, which will leave us nutrient poor, our micronutrient poor, our micronutrient cup low, which over time will lead to more cravings, more hunger, more weight gain, illnesses, and symptoms all over the place.
Mm-hmm. Well, and we're not going to be able to detox as efficiently as well, because we have just a plethora of additions in there that the body has to detox.
Right.
And so not only are we creating these huge insulin spikes, that hormone, you guys, on its own is one of the most detrimental hormones if we are not controlling it. Detrimental. You guys, when you talk about, I want to get lean and all this kind of stuff, I want to feel more energetic, all of it, insulin is one of your biggest ones. This is why we support metabolic flexibility, of bringing it to the forefront. Because if you are more metabolically flexible, your insulin levels will be more balanced, meaning those sugar cravings that you have or needing to eat all the time start dissipating and start being removed. And so, yes, having carbohydrates before you work out, is it going to help, Emily?
Yes, it will give you temporary help.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but the quality of it drastically matters, specifically on the long haul. Mm-hmm. Because if we're eating those foods those super high sugary foods and insulin's getting pushed and we have to detox it. Is there going to be inflammation in the body?
Oh yeah. When anytime an organ gets backed up, like liver, gallbladder, kidneys, you're going to find some symptoms and sickness eventually.
And when it comes to inflammation, are we going to feel that in our joints?
Oh yeah. Pain,
shoulders, yes. Swelling, hips, knees, feet, tendons. Mm-hmm. So for all my fitness people, they're like, oh, I just can't get rid of this low back pain, this knee, this, but you're hammering your pre-workout because you want to be able to hit that workout hard. We got to rethink about our choices when it comes in, coming into the gym.
Yeah. I want to add in there pre-workouts. Some of them are okay, right? We sometimes will use coffee as a pre-workout. But I'm talking about the powder ones, right? And a lot of them have fake sugars in there. They have red dyes or yellow dyes or weird ingredients. So again, when I say quality, I'm also talking about those powders and pre-workouts too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Okay. So now let's move on to the last part. And we've been talking about this is actually ignoring the fact that your body wants to be metabolically flexible. So this is just saying like, nope, I'm just a carb monster. I have to have something before I work out, or I don't feel the same if I don't have 100 grams of carbohydrates in the day right before I go to work out. We're crutching ourselves on pre-workout and carbohydrates and alternative sources of fueling instead of, oh, wait a second. If I took a little time here and I create some metabolic flexibility, I actually could create an even more powerful body and more powerful performance, because now I can use carbohydrates as jet fuel instead of my everyday fuel. Can you explain to us the mistake there and dive into that a little bit deeper?
Yeah. So going back to how metabolic flexibility works is our body, if you train it, like if you're eating every 2, 3, 4 hours, especially with a lot of high carbs in there, then you're training your body to go, hey, this is our prime, this is the fuel source that's easiest. We want to continuously use this. Versus if you give it a chance, you take 5, 6, 7 hours between meals, you fast 12 to 16 hours overnight here and there to train your body to use other fuel sources like stored fat, stored glucose, those kinds of things. Hmm. It's just, if you keep that cycle going of always fueling it with extra carbs and often it's going to, that's all it knows. And so of course, when you 3 hours go by and you haven't had anything, or you go into a workout without having eaten a few hours before, it's not going to feel great. It's because we've trained our body that way. Mm-hmm. So we want to train it. It's just like working out. It's like if you don't know how to do a muscle up, you start at the basics and you use a band or you use assistance or you use the bar, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. And this is baby steps for us would be, and we'll get into this. Okay. Stop snacking between meals, add more fat and protein to your meal. Step one. Right. So we want to be able to train our body to be more metabolically flexible. So one, we can burn more fat if you're wanting to improve your body composition. Mm-hmm. Two, it's just a great thing to have in general for metabolic health, for ease in your day, not having to snack all the time, feeling better energy wise, more sustainable energy, all sorts of benefits I could go on and on about.
Mm-hmm. And when we're talking about metabolic flexibility, you guys, some of you guys might be thinking there's no way, like I'm going to bonk. You guys are crazy. You're just not trained and your body is so incredible. You guys, it was made to be metabolically flexible because it was the only way it could survive. It's not like we had readily available carbohydrates all the time. You guys, when guess what? I just want to put this out here. Before you had grocery stores, you ate fruit that was in season. And if it wasn't in season anymore, guess what? You didn't eat it. You then ate vegetables, which were very low in terms of glycemic index and carbohydrates. And you would hunt sporadically. Your body is designed to be here and it can do incredible things, guys. We have testimonial after testimonial. I ran a 50K in complete ketosis, 34 miles with no carbohydrates, you guys, and my body reacted perfectly well. And so it's recognizing that, yes, we want to have this as another tool because it's such a powerful tool. And I want to touch on this, Emily. Is there certain times where metabolic flexibility in workouts would be better compared to other workouts? Meaning, when is the time to be able to go, okay, let's add a little more carbohydrates? And when's the time where it might surprise a couple people on being able to go, hey, you'll be actually perfectly fine. If you're metabolically flexible, you'll be perfectly fine.
Yeah. So it depends that how much time you're working out. So like, say on like a shorter run, that's like an hour long or less, that would be the time, right? Mm-hmm. Endurance, say like zone two, is ideal time to utilize metabolic flexibility and go without food and try that out. Work your way there, right? For people listening who have never done this, don't go straight out of the gates. You can, but just know like you may feel not so great the first time. So yeah, versus a CrossFit workout like Fran, like something that's super explosive. Or in that same category, a very long run, like a 50K or an ultra marathon, where your body literally will just run out of fuel sources at some point. Mm-hmm. And so being able to supplement there can help, yet you can also use fat sometimes too. So depends what you're doing, how long, but usually more endurance stuff. A lot of people do well with metabolic flexibility, meaning less carbs.
Yes. And when we're thinking about high intensity interval training, a lot of people like think that they need to have a ton of carbohydrates for HIIT training. And just let you guys know, one, you're not doing it long enough to need that many carbohydrates. Okay, you're going to a CrossFit workout or something else. Trust me, if you were Matt Frazier or an Olympic athlete, yes, you need those carbohydrates because your intensity is measured and you are hitting it at an extreme point. But us coming into a F45, an Orange Theory CrossFit workout, where we're kind of putzing around on the warm up, and then we do a little strength, and then we do a 10-minute EMOM, this is not your excuse to hammer 100 grams of carbohydrates.
Right. You also have stored glucose. I didn't mean to cut you off, but we also have stored glucose that your body can use from the day before, because you're eating some level of carbs still.
Correct. And where is that stored glucose? Where is it stored?
Our liver.
Anywhere else?
I feel like this is a trick question.
Is it? It's stored in our muscles too, right? Okay. Did I miss this? So you guys, you already have some glucose stored in your muscle if you ate any type of carbohydrates the day before. And you didn't end up doing like a crazy workout. You didn't deplete that glucose source in your muscles that quick. So you actually have it already there if you had any carbohydrates the night before and you're metabolically flexible. If you are not metabolically flexible, then this is hard for that source to turn on and off. It's too reliant on one source. And so it could become difficult. And lastly, guys, mindset. When it comes to this, being able to recognize your body is way stronger than you think. And it's your mind that will trick you every time. If you say, I'm hangry, you have this nice little system inside your brain called the reticular activating system that's meant to create truth and proof to the things you see and say. This is why the whole reason when you get a new car, all you see is that car all over town. That's your reticular activating system work. If you say, I'm so hungry all the time, there's no way I could do this without carbs. Is there some physiological part of like, yeah, you may feel a little bit more fatigued, but the more you allow yourself to go down that route, the more fatigued you'll feel. This is why the placebo effect works so dang well in scientific studies. That's how strong the brain is, that people heal themselves taking a sugar pill because they believe it works. Whoa. Make sure that you recognize that connection. Anything else on the mistakes, Emily, before we go into actually other options to fuel before workouts?
Yeah. If you've been experimenting with lower carb or fasting, and you're not getting enough electrolytes, that's another mistake. You're going to feel lethargic. You're going to feel like that, what they call the keto flu. And you're gonna be like, oh yeah, no, that's why I need carbs, is because every time I try low carb or fasted cardio, I just don't feel well. One, you're metabolically inflexible,
right?
Most likely. And two, you're probably not getting enough electrolytes, specifically sodium. Because when you eat lower carb, you need way more electrolytes.
Yeah, that having electrolytes, guys, is an absolute game changer. I could tell you it'd be much harder for me in metabolic flexibility, running a 50K and competing in the open in with low carbohydrates or no carbohydrates, if it wasn't for Element.
Yeah. So it's a key.
It is key. All right. Well, let's move on to now focusing on what we do suggest, and for you to give it a shot and try it out. So it doesn't mean that this is for sure the answer yet. From our experience of being metabolically flexible, this has worked really well. So let's first start off with option number one, which is starting to work into a lower carb, higher fat type of snacks before going into a workout. So tell us what that would look like and why this is beneficial.
Yeah, I do want to say, depending on your genetics and some other factors, this may be a good option. It may not, right? Some people do better with more moderate carbs. Some people do better lower carb, higher fat. So this is something, when I proceed to talk about, this is something for you to experiment with and see how you do, but give it due time. Like, give it a good amount of time, like 30 days, right? Don't just do 1 day or 2 days. Give it a good amount of time. So our suggestion is to start experimenting with lower carb, higher fat snacks and meals, as Joel said. And when I say snacks, like starting to reduce the snacks. Because for me, like where I started, I would go to a morning workout, and for me, it was hard to go on an empty stomach. So I started with a low carb snack. So that could be something like, and Joel, I think you did this in your race, like avocado slices, some bacon, handful of nuts or almond butter. Yeah. Those are like low carb, high fat snacks to have just to give you some instant energy. My favorite one these days, if I need something, or to recommend to people who are first starting out, is MCT oil, whether you put it in your coffee, whether you put it in some chocolate Element, or even a protein shake, right? So MCT oil or MCT powder, Bubs Naturals, use code Proclivity for a discount. That's our favorite brand. That would be my first place to go, because it, you're still giving your body a quick fuel or a fuel source. It's just going to be more sustained release in your body.
Yep. My go-to for this, guys, every single morning before I work out, I eat nothing before I work out. I have a shake that I do, which is Bubs Collagen, Bubs MCT oil, one packet of Element. Shake that sucker up with some creatine, and I am solid each and every time. No bonk, no crash, no nothing. And that's because I've worked my way into allowing my body to utilize fat as its primary fuel source. Now, disclaimer, just like Emily did, if you're like, oh, rad, Joel, I want to do that. Okay, tomorrow, I'm usually carbohydrates, I'm going all fat. And you go a whole scoop of MCT oil and collagen and everything up, your tummy may be bumming. Because your body may not have the ability to be able to process that fat first thing in the morning. It might feel like too much fat. And so if that's the case, Emily, one, why is that the reason? Two, what should they do?
Yeah, it's just, again, your body's not used to it. It's not used to producing the enzymes to break it down and process that fat. And a lot of people have gallbladder issues, which is what helps secrete the bile to process the fat. MCT oil shouldn't have as much of the problem with the gallbladder, but if you have liver stress, then you will. So liver, gallbladder stress, then you might have that problem, and then just not used to eating that much fat. And so I recommend starting with like a quarter dose of what it says. Usually most MCT oils or powders will say 2 tablespoons, I want to say. Maybe it's 1. I say start with like half a teaspoon. Start with that. The next day, try a full teaspoon if you feel good, and then add another little bit. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I always do like a half a serving size in general.
Right.
Because I don't think I need all of that. Unless I'm going like skipping breakfast and lunch, then I will do more.
Which sometimes you do, Emily.
Correct.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. So that's one option, is to be able to move into the lower carb, higher fats. We gave some examples. Any specific example that you use for yourself? I gave you my shake, but is there one that's like your go-to?
I do pretty much the same thing. I will go into my workouts mostly with just Element. And then if it is higher intensity or I know I'm not going to eat for longer, I will add the MCT oil in there, or coconut milk. That's my other go-to, because coconut milk does have MCTs in there. Mm-hmm. So you're getting some of the benefit.
There you go, guys. There you go. Low Element, low MCT can go a long, long way. Mm-hmm. Speaking of drinks, our second option to fuel before your workout is being able to go into protein-rich smoothies. This can be nice for people in terms of, oh, I'm running to the gym real quick. I need something. I can hammer this out. I can drink this on my way. It's going to give me enough energy to feel like I can get through this workout. What does that look like? And how does that help?
Yeah. So like you said, this is an efficient way. So I tell people, you can make the smoothie the night before, put it in a Yeti or something that's like stainless steel. That'll keep cool. Yes. It will be a little watery the next day. Still works. But including some complex carbs, so fruits and veggies of your choice, keep the fruits to less, a cup or less, because you're gonna get plenty of carbs there. We don't want that huge blood sugar spike with that either. And also having protein in there and some fats. So it doesn't have to be a whole lot. You can do a little bit of collagen protein or whatever protein powder, quality protein powder that you like. We love Transparent Labs whey grass-fed protein, or beef protein isolate as a dairy-free option. But having some of that in there, and then even if you want to do some like chia seeds, hemp seeds, avocado, yogurt, full fat yogurt, anything in terms of a quality high fat would be a good option to have in there. Something with all three macros is going to help slow down that blood sugar spike, mm-hmm. but still give you energy.
And what's one of the, you know, obviously we're saving a little bit of time here. Is it easier for the body to digest a smoothie quicker? Or that doesn't matter?
Yes. Oh, yes. So you're going to get a bigger blood, like it's going to absorb the sugar faster. So that's what you have to be careful of. That's why a lot of people, when they do smoothies, it can turn into a mistake here as well, mm-hmm. of just too much sugar, because it absorbs quicker.
Sure.
So there's been studies with like the NutriSense CGM, the continuous glucose monitor. Smoothies will spike your blood sugar more than regular fruit. Mm-hmm. One, you're drinking it faster. Two, it's broken down for you already. Mm-hmm. So we want to be careful there. But again, on the efficiency side, you can make a smoothie and have it for the next 3-4 days if you keep it in those containers.
Yep. And when it comes to smoothies, you were talking about this on one of our coaching calls the other day. Chew your smoothie. Why?
Correct. Literally the act of chewing and breaking down like the seeds and some of the like broken down like ice and fruit in there helps your body release more digestive enzymes. So you're going to digest it better that way, and you're slowing yourself down and you're letting your mouth like salivate. So it's adding to the whole digestive process. So slowing down is always something to think about, mm-hmm. when drinking a protein shake or smoothies. And that's what we say, chew your smoothie, or at least like let it sit in your mouth and let your mouth salivate. Mm-hmm.
Well, because it can be so easy to hammer down a smoothie, yeah. particularly if you have, I have some fats in there and there's some yogurt and maybe I put a little, you know, nut butter in there. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is such a crazy, great yeah. treat. And you've mm-hmm. emulsified it so much that you can put it down really quickly. But if you laid all of those ingredients out, the spinach, the berries, the nut butter, and said, okay, eat this, it's going to take you a longer time than it is just hammering down that smoothie if you don't slow down or don't chew.
Right. Correct.
Love it. All right. Let's move to the last one. Being able to move into, is there something else that you wanted to say? You took a deep breath.
Nope.
No. Okay, great. Just got to check. I don't know where that blood sugar level's at, right? If you're ready to hop back in because that cookie or what. The last one, talk about simple sugars or simple carbohydrates, complex carbohydrates, along with being able to add some lean protein. So as you guys can see, there's a theme here. Okay, a little low carb, high fat, a little protein with smoothies. Oh, complex carbohydrates, lean protein. What's the difference here and what does that look like?
So basically it's like a smoothie, but in more whole food type form, right? So we want to still focus on complex carbohydrates, adding in a protein, right? And some people like to keep this lower fat so it absorbs faster. Say if you eat 30 to 60 minutes before a workout, that could help, right? For some people who do better with higher carb, but we want to make sure they're complex and nutrient dense carbs. So again, fruit, veggies. For some people, like, you can add like a rice cake in here and there, and some rice or potatoes, stuff like that. But we also want to put in some protein paired with it. So it could be hummus and turkey slices. We do that a lot. Mm-hmm. Maybe even have some like on a rice cracker if you really wanted to, or fruit and a beef stick. We mm-hmm. do that often as well.
What about one of your faves, the siete tortilla wrapped with turkey, right, and hummus? Yep.
Totally. That's like I call it my turkey sandwich. Super easy, super good. You can do, if you don't do hummus, you can do avocado. Mm-hmm. But it's, yes, turkey slices with a fat source and then the siete tortilla. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A little salt.
Ooh, in there too. Ooh, got some salt in there. Look at you getting spicy. Yeah. Okay. So this is more in terms of, all right, we're eating a little bit more here than say like a mm-hmm. smoothie, which I'm just kind of tossing down. Again, the reoccurring theme here is pushing your body to more metabolic flexibility, recognizing that if we do this for a while, that you will become more and more metabolically flexible. And the great thing is, guys, what's so awesome about metabolic flexibility? We had Remy Warren, who is a really well-known international hunter. And he gave us an example of somebody he was hunting with, who was a big bodybuilder type of guy, tons of carbohydrates daily, 300 to 500 grams of carbohydrates daily. And they were out in the wild hiking and doing their thing. And they had all their packs with food, so on and so forth. And what they didn't realize is that this guy was hammering down all the carbohydrates and all the food. And then he got to a point where he completely bonked because his body was so reliant of, I can't operate unless there's food. Mm-hmm. And they had to carry this guy out. And my point here is, the people who have gone from metabolic inflexibility to metabolic flexibility, they don't go back because they go, I start realizing I don't have to eat. If I'm hydrated correctly, I have some element, I can bypass. I can fly all day long and be okay and be completely sharp. I can go do that workout and be okay. I can be out in the wilderness and not be afraid that my body's going to shut down on me. And this starts making you feel pretty darn super human. And I have tested it time and time again. So has Emily. And so we're really encouraging you guys to be able to take a look at this. And what we're going to do is we're going to help you out. We have our 3 tips to metabolic flexibility. It's a free PDF. We're going to include it in the show notes. Scroll on down. Click on that and just follow those 3 tips. Do it for 30 days. See what happens to your metabolic flexibility, specifically when it comes to your workouts. And then let us know. What do you think, Em?
Yep. Try it out. And again, I want to really hit home the fact that, like, this takes working up to. For some people, if you have chronic low blood sugar and you've been this way for a long time, it's going to take time to get back there. So I highly recommend you work with a coach or a nutrition coach or even a doctor if they're willing to work your way there. I don't recommend starting straight out of the gates. If you have chronic headaches or you are hangry all the time, you get lightheaded, those kinds of things. Cause those are again signs of low blood sugar. And we also don't want that either. So let us know if you have any questions, need help with that, but yeah, get someone to help you out.
Absolutely. All right, guys, recapping this whole podcast, we talked about the three top mistakes that we see when people go to fuel for fitness. I also covered, hey, we really need metabolic flexibility. And the more your metabolic flexibility, the healthier you're going to be, the longer your workouts can go. And so if this is something that you're interested in, again, check out the PDF below, three tips to metabolic flexibility. If you want to learn more, you also can click on the link below in the show notes and book a connection call with us, where we can find out what's going on with you, how we can help you, and if the Proclivity method is a fit for you. Emily, anything else to cover or recap this?
Yeah, if you're someone who's like a runner, endurance runner, and uses goos or feels like you have trouble fueling, maybe you use the goos and they work energy-wise, but your stomach is not feeling so great, like how I was, come to our running workshop, April 20th at CrossFit Bangarang. We're going to be talking about how to other options and how to fuel for endurance running. So,
all right, we're going to put that link in there too, huh? Now we're just giving the house to you guys today. That's all right. We're going to give it away. We're going to give it away. Check it out. All the links are going to be below. Emily, anything else?
Share with friends. We appreciate it. If you like this episode, five stars.
We appreciate it. Give us a lot of stars, you guys. You're a star if you give us five stars. Oof. If you give us four stars, you're just a shining light. Just kidding, guys. Give us whatever you guys want. We got thick skin now because one of our reels went viral.
If you know anything about viral reels, you get some negativity with that.
1,000 comments on our reels, guys. 600,000 people have viewed it. No big deal. We're big time. We're big time. And people don't like aluminum. Or they don't like parchment paper. Or they just don't like us.
People don't like being told that what they're doing is not helpful or not good.
No, they just don't like us. That's all it is. Yeah, they hate us. Anyways, thanks for showing up today, guys. Love having you guys here. We're looking for episode 142 in the books. We're looking forward to episode 143. Sign up to go do the running workshop. We're going to have a ton of fun there. We're going to have food. We're going to have coffee. We're going to learn how to run efficiently, how to fuel efficiently. And of course, click below for the three tips to metabolic flexibility. Give that a shot. If you have questions, reach out to us, Joel at Proclivity.co or Emily at Proclivity.co. And if you haven't seen the reel, go to the reel. Leave your comment. Feel free. Tell us that we have terrible acting skills. That was one comment I read. And I'm like, that's good because I'm not an actor. And you know what? I have great acting skills. And I don't care. Zero affected me. All right, guys. That's it. Until next time.
Best day ever.
Best day ever. Okay, Em, I have a question for you. The question is, as I'm trying to figure it out in my mind right now.
I knew that.
If you had to live in forever darkness or forever light, which one would you pick?
Forever light. Darkness, you don't see anything. Lightness, you do see everything. Be hard to sleep. That's about it. It's like people living in Alaska parts of the year, northern, right?
Yeah. That's true. Okay, that wasn't the best question. Okay.
It's okay.
Is that all right?
Yeah.
Okay, let's end it there. Perfect.
It'll do, donkey.
See you guys.